There's a book that I'm going to be referencing and reading out of today. Oh, I guess I better do this. Hello? Yeah. It's by a man named A.W. Tozer. Anybody familiar with him? Anybody ever?
He's way, way back before Dwight L. Moody. And he's a wonderful, preacher.
Yeah.
And I noticed Kathy used a scripture of his.
Yeah.
Reading this book is just amazing.
Oh,
I would love to read that.
Yeah.
But
there we go.
What I know about him, he was
awesome. A real man of God.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's been talked about really this morning, but for a long time, and this is what it really is all about too, is the title of the book is The Pursuit of God. Okay. It says you can become the person you were meant to be. This practical classic will point the way. It's his all-time bestseller. It's excellent book. I really recommend anybody to read this on your own. And I'm going to be reading some things from this. You know, as things keep getting closer to the coming of the Lord, there's greater things that are going to be needed in terms of stepping up and meeting the challenges of the present time that we're in. And we've been talking lately about not being double-minded, that we so easily can just flip back and forth and get drawn into all kinds of things and see where we are and get out. And God always does accept us back as we turn to Him. And we really want to be single-minded. And last week was about grace upon grace. He continues to pour out this divine ability to us to move on with Him so that we're not overwhelmed, so we don't look at things and just throw our hands up in the air, but that in all things He will be with us. And there's been enough testimony this morning about that. And what I'm going to do today is I want to expand something for us. And I guess unless the Lord builds the house, it's not going to work. And so we have to see this and approach this in the right way. But we're going to be reading some scripture here, starting in the book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 15. Okay, everybody there? Oh, you're probably looking up there, aren't you? It says this: "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and also be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And I think a lot of times when we think about serving God and being spiritual, these are the things that we think about. We think about prayer, or we think about singing psalms and hymns, you know, that what we normally think of as worship, and we think of doing good for people and all of that, and all of that is all part of it. I want us to see something, I think, that's really kind of great. And Tozer ends up talking about this. I guess it's because I need more of God in my life, in every area of my life, that He needs to be included every place, that it isn't just here and there. It's not just on Sunday in this church building. It's not just when I'm down on my knees praying about something, but that in everything that I do, in as I move through life, that there is this attitude of including God in every part of my life. Right? Like I just said, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain to build it. Can we construct a religious walk with God ourselves? No, we can't do that. We need that constant flow of His Spirit. And sometimes we go, well, how can all of this be done? And yet there is a way, and I think that we can maybe get a little bit of an insight here. So Paul says to the Colossians in verse 17 now, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, everything that we do, everything that we say, do it all in the name of Jesus. Boy, now there's a committed Christian. There's someone who's really plugged in the way they need to be. And I really think that this is how God intended it to be. Didn't He? And that whatever we're doing in life, that we invite the Lord into that. I think the more that that's happening in our lives, the more we're going to notice that there's some more power in our life. There's such a greater connection in our life when we're actually consciously making the decision to have God, calling God into every part of our life. The other thing that does is that when you're calling and I'm calling God into my life, there's a lot less of a chance that temptation is going to be so strong that we're going to get taken out or be seduced into thoughts and feelings. Because, hey, if we're in constant contact with the Lord, God's always in our heart. If we're sanctifying God in our heart, it really makes a big, big difference. As a younger Christian, why after becoming a Christian do I keep doing these things, or do I keep thinking, having these thoughts? Am I really a Christian? Doesn't that happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you can think that even as a more mature person, as you see what the real standard of living is with God, that you go, boy, I keep falling in this area all over the place, and the very things I don't want to do, I'm doing, and the enemy will throw that at your head. Mm-hmm. Are you sure you're a Christian? Are you you don't really want to walk with God? And then he pulls you in a different kind of direction. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So here. The Lord is telling us, Paul is telling us by the Spirit of God, that whatever we do, do it all in the name of Christ. Invite Him in. Bring Him into the picture. Here's one way that you do this. I teach on Thursdays at the college, and When I go into the classroom, well, I have a lot, I usually go early enough so I can get everything all set up and queue up everything on the computer that I'm going to be doing for the presentations that I'm doing and everything else. But when I go in there, the very first thing I do is I walk around the classroom and I ask God to be in the classroom ministering to those kids while I'm talking about Western civilization, that the Lord will be there, give me what I need to really emphasize with the kids, that I would be open to take the direction off of what I've planned if I sense His Spirit. But if I don't make the connection with God, sometimes I think we think that God just drops on us, and that's the only time when we know that he's around. Well, you know, he wants us to reach out to him, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
In every area of our life. And so you do that. I include the Lord in the day. I found that I've had better days. Sometimes I don't. But for the most part, I have much better days where I see what God is doing in the hearts of some of those kids. It's really great. It's a wonderful thing. But actually bringing him in to this common area of life called work. And whether that's washing dishes at home, or whether it's you're at a place of work where you're doing stuff that you're getting paid, it doesn't matter. This realm of work is really an important thing. I'm going to talk about this. Because what I want to say is that, you know, God wants to be involved in all the common places of your life, not just when you're down on your knees praying. And that we can express a life that's to the glory of God, whether we're milking a cow or reading a book or helping someone with homework. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we're doing. God wants our whole being to be wrapped up in him. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
And so, but you know, when I'm teaching, all right, so I prepare the classroom, so to speak, by praying and asking a blessing over all the seats where the kids are sitting, and you know, I go through my thing. Now, it's kind of hard to be thinking about what we normally think is spiritual things when I'm going to be talking about Napoleon Bonaparte. It isn't that you give up on everything that's of this world. There are things that you have to do within the context of your work or whatever's going on in life, and you need to address that with consciousness, and you're thinking about what you're doing. But that doesn't mean that you haven't drawn God into it. Do you see what I'm saying? It isn't like I just have to be thinking about God every single second of the day. That isn't what God means by this. It's drawing God into it, bringing him in and making him a part of your life in that area. And I'll tell you, the benefit of that is that you don't find yourself falling into sin so easily. Because you're talking to God a lot. Not every single second, but you've included him in your life in a greater way. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It even says, I'm not going to have you go to it, but in 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, in your eating and drinking, do all for the glory of God. He's interested in what I'm eating, what I'm drinking. He's interested in those very common things of life. In all that you do, give glory to God. How do you give glory to God? By putting a slice of ham, a lamb in your mouth. Well, you know what it's all about? It's about your heart. It's about the fellowship around the table, that who you're eating with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that you're giving glory in all these little things. You know, I think we compartmentalize God. Well, this Sunday's God's time, and then the rest of the week is mine. Or I'm only talking to God when I'm down on my knees. When you and I know you and I we've all experienced that you talk to God more than at night before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
right? All through the day, you're including him more and more. And I think he's encouraging you and I to continue to do that. Because if we're going to step up into some things that are going to be important for us, then we need to step up there and have that deeper connection, this greater pursuit that we have toward God, right? So, you know, serving him in our everyday life and even in our jobs, where has nothing to do particularly with God, but God wants to be part of that part of our life. Isn't that great? I think, he wants that from us. He loves us. So I'm going to read you something from Tozer. I'm going to title the message after the chapter that I'm going to read out of. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to take two excerpts from this. Could you hold this for a second? So, the title of this chapter is The Sacrament of Living. Now, what's a sacrament? A sacrament is an outward expression of some internal grace that God has graced us with. Okay? It's our expression of something that God's put inside us. That's what a sacrament, that's the definition of a sacrament. So he's saying here that our whole life, the sacrament of living, that our whole life should be a sacrament. Our whole life should be an outward manifestation. And no matter what we're doing, that it's an outward manifestation of the grace that God has given us. Mm-hmm. Isn't that great?
Yes.
All right, so that's Tozer's precept here that he's bringing out in this chapter. So this is what he says. Let us think of a Christian believer in whose life the twin wonders of repentance and the new birth have been wrought. He is now living according to the will of God as he understands it from the written word. Of such a one, it may be said that every act of his life is, or can be, as truly sacred as prayer or baptism or the Lord's Supper. To say this is not to bring all these acts down to one dead level, but rather to lift up every act into a living kingdom and turn the whole life into a sacrament. That's very profound. That's awesome to think about this. That the mundane things of life are going to, the including God in it makes it better, makes it more beautiful, and in a sense sacred because God's there.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
God's included. God isn't just off waiting for us to come to this building before we invite him in. We're inviting him in every aspect of our life. Now, there might be some areas of your life where you don't want to invite him in. Those are the areas that there's probably sin involved. And that needs to go. And so, little by little, we find that life becomes more of a wonderful kingdom experience when we really are inviting the Lord more and more into all these different areas of life. Amen?
I won't read that the next part. This is I thought this was very interesting. Tozer explains why there was the law and how we're free from the law and open now to some greater thing. I just felt he did such a great job summarizing that I would like to read this. So here's what it says. Here are the facts as I see them. For 400 years, Israel had dwelt in Egypt, surrounded by the crassest idolatry. By the hand of Moses, they were brought out and at last started toward the land of promise. The very idea of holiness had been lost to them. To correct this, God began at the bottom. He localized himself in the cloud and the fire, and later, when the tabernacle had been built, he dwelt in fiery manifestation in the Holy of Holies. By innumerable distinctions, God taught Israel the difference between holy and unholy. They had no idea what holiness was. I don't think we have a real good idea of what really holiness is all about.
Yeah.
And so God starts at the bottom. He starts in each one of our lives where he needs to put his finger on to get our attention and show us, yeah, this is what I'm like. And that is not what I'm like. And there's a difference there. And you need to be able to see the difference. There were holy days and holy vessels and holy garments. There were washings and sacrifices and offerings of many kinds. By these means, Israel learned that God is holy. It was this that he was teaching them. Not the holiness of things or places, but the holiness of Jehovah was the lesson that they must learn. And that's the lesson we must learn. God is holy. And this is why it says in the New Testament, we're to be holy because God is holy. This is where God wants us to get to. It's not something that can't be achieved. We can live in holiness more and more. Isn't that right? Am I talking to the right group of people?
Yes.
Yeah. You understand this, right? We know that we can. We know that we're going to fall. We're going to stumble and fall, but we're going to get back up and we're going to continue in this pursuit of God. Aren't we?
Yes.
Then came the great day when Christ appeared. Immediately he began to say, you have heard that it was said of them of old time, but I say to you this. And then Christ changed some things, didn't he?
Yeah.
The Old Testament schooling was over. When Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. The Holy of Holies was opened to everyone who would enter in by faith. Christ's words were remembered. The hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. But the hour has come and now is that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We have all kinds of things where we believe that a certain place is more holy than someplace else. Jesus threw that away. Mm. Didn't he?
Yes.
Because he's living inside of us. You know, this is the pulpit. Is that any more? Is this place where I'm? Do I need to stand here?
No.
Don't shake your head. Yes. Do I need to stand here for God to speak more clearly to me and to you?
No.
No, we don't need that place. We need to be listening by the Spirit of God, and I need to be speaking as I'm moved on by the Spirit of God. And I can be over here. Can I?
That's different.
That's different to walk over here. Yeah, I was saying, somebody was saying that I don't look this side that much. And you know, I'm right-handed. I tend to go to my right side a lot. So I've got to get out of that. So here I am. I'm over here now. All right. Yeah, this is kind of a sad thing that he's talking about what happens in the church, what's happened in the church. He points out that the church today really is carried about by the sacred secular, he calls it a heresy. He
He says that this idea that the church building is holy and outside the church building is not. There's a place for God and then there's a place for what's going on in your life. He says that's a heresy. God wants to be part of all of it. Isn't that right? I think we intrinsically know this, don't we? You know, we intrinsically know this, but to be made aware of it and say, I don't want to be someone that that has pigeonholed God in a particular place in my life, and I own the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Right? He also says this. Now, he has in parentheses, the layman. So he's talking about a person that's not a ordained minister. Okay, the layman need never think of his humbler task as being inferior to that of his minister. Let every man abide in the calling wherein he is called, and his work will be as sacred as the work of the ministry. It is not what a man does that determines whether his work is sacred or secular. It is why he does it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Because when you're at your nursing desk, or you're working with a patient, or someone's working out in the woods, or on the farm, or in a school, or in an office someplace, it doesn't matter. Our whole life can be lived as a glory unto God because of the way that we live and how we interact with people and our acts of kindness. Our life is going to be a testimony of Christ to other people.
Yes.
Tozer says, is just as sacred. And he says that because Jesus is just as much a part of us in whatever we're doing when we've invited him in. Right? Isn't that right?
I just thought that was well said, and I wanted to say it his way rather than my clumsy way. Here's just something for you to think of. You know, we think that a lot of times we have to hear something to be obedient to God. Change jobs? Am I supposed to? You know, and you're waiting for some answers from God, and God will answer you as well. But there's other things. You know, there's things in the Word of God, isn't there, that speak to us, that we can listen to God and be obedient to God, and therefore move in a sacred way, because God is there. God has said, "Do this." God, you know, something as mundane, as common as in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. He tells the human race, he tells Adam and Eve, to replenish the earth, subdue the earth, dominate and control it, use the abilities that you have been given, and change things. Bring them under your domination, under your understanding, your control. God has, in other words, God opened a wide door for us to understand the workings of the universe, find out about how the body works. What is this about mechanics and, John, help me out here. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's so much out there that God has opened the door for us to learn about, find out about. And so even in our intellectual pursuit of things, if we're looking for this to be where we've included God, and we want this for the glory of God, we want to do this for the glory of God, that maybe we could be a help to someone in an area. I mean, so many of you have been a help to me in mechanics and carpentry and all kinds of other stuff. You know, that's to the glory of God. Yes.
Well,
Everything about this universe shows his handiwork.
Yeah.
And the more that people, some people have an understanding and can share that understanding, it just speaks the glory of God.
Yes.
Yeah, what do you want to say?
Well, I was just thinking that a lot of the scientists, their discoveries were because they were Christians, they believed the word of God, they searched the scriptures,
yeah.
and they found, oh, this is what... why this happens, and
yes.
and his word is scientific as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. There's not. See, I've been bugged by this over the years. You know, we can't separate science from God.
Right.
Now, humanist scientists have done that and tried to say that there's this big difference, but God's the one that made everything.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And for us to understand it and getting it through the wisdom that his spirit can give us is a lot more insightful than looking at it in a different way. God is into government.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
Now, we have a lot of crappy government going on in this world, in this country in some respects. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, so are we as Christians only supposed to be taught praying about certain things and not getting infused, if God leads you, into these areas of pursuit that God says, go out and dominate here? Do you think that we as Christians are to timidly go off into a corner and let the ungodly be the ones that end up ruling?
Mm.
That is what has happened. And we know where it's going to end up, you know, end up. But I think we have a responsibility as godly people to be giving input into the whole process. Don't you?
Yes.
I was telling somebody the other day. I was telling my class the other day. There's a whole bunch of different things have come up in the political realm, and I decided I'm not letting these things pass by. I'm going to give my input. I wrote to a whole bunch of senators and representatives. Kathy did the same the other day. You know, we shouldn't be quiet if we know what truth is, if we understand what justice is, if we understand what real equity is, then we're going to be people that are going to not be salt that is going to end up getting trampled underfoot. We should be people that are standing up, speaking truth. Some people are unacceptable, some people aren't. But at least we're standing where we need to stand as a Christian person.
Yeah.
This is so important for the Christian church. And we have allowed ourselves to be backed off into a corner. I'm not trying to be a revolutionary here. I'm not trying to cause any problems. But I do believe that God has called us to not just be some little wallflower on the wall. We've been called, God says, you have to go out and do these things, right?
Okay. Here's a good one, too. In Genesis, also Genesis 2:15, he says that God intended for man to work. He said to go and dress the garden and keep it, which means to guard it. That's all part of, you know, we're our brother's keeper, right?
Mm.
We have a responsibility as Christians to look out for one another, don't we? Yeah. We have a responsibility to, as it says, I think it's in Timothy. Yeah, Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if you don't provide for your household, you let me get this right. You have denied the faith.
Wow.
You are worse than an infidel. Oh, I don't have time to work and provide for the family. I'm just going to pray in my house. You see, people can use religiosity and they're not even following the whole counsel of God, which says, hey, you're supposed to provide for your own. And when you're doing that, when you're out there working and providing for your own, guess what? You're doing what God wants you to do. Which means that's as much a, well, I don't want to say as much a sacred thing as other things are, but it is sacred because God has told us to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope this expands our idea about the sacredness of life. You know? The sacrament of living. That our whole life, living a life, should be a sacrament. It should be an outward expression in every area, an outward expression of the inward grace that God has given us. Amen?
Yes. Isn't that? I thought Tozer did such a great job with that. You don't have to turn to this, but in 2 Corinthians 8:12,
it talks about how God doesn't look at, he says he accepts us by the abilities that we have, not by the abilities that we don't. Now let me explain what he's saying there. It was talking about some monetary stuff, but this is true if you look at how Jesus talks about the parable of the talents. If we don't have a lot in a particular area of our life, we don't feel like we can give. We see somebody that has a particular gift in an area, and it's an abundant gift, and we all, wow, so-and-so is a good preacher. I could never get up and say anything. And then, but God wants you and touches you to speak when he moves on you to say something, right? You don't have to have some eloquent sermon. Neither do I, right? We just need to be moved on.
People, numbers of times, people up that are on
the worship team will be moved on to say something in between songs. It doesn't have to be some grand thing, but when you feel the moving of the Spirit, when something has touched you in the words of a song or what somebody has said, share. Feel the freedom to share. Right? All of these add on. It brings the body up to a better place, a higher place. We're doing this. And I think God wants us to increase, because as we get out into the world, we need to be very accustomed to this. Right?
Confident.
That brings a confidence. We're accustomed to drawing God into every area of our life. Amen?
Amen.
So, as Tozer says, this is the pursuit of God. This is the sacrament of living. And I think that was a really apt title for this. I'm going to close with 1 Peter chapter 3. So if you would go to that. 1 Peter chapter 3. So it says this, 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you." Hallelujah, huh? But to sanctify the Lord, what does sanctify mean?
Set apart,
right? Yeah. To set apart the Lord in your heart. In other words, you're always including Him. To set apart the Lord in your heart is that He takes preeminence. And if we are people that do sanctify the Lord in our heart, then we're going to be people that are going to be including Him in everything. I thought in one of the songs, He is Lord of all. Mm. He's not just talking about all people. He's talking about everything about us. He's the Lord of everything about us, or should be, and that's what we want to pursue. Amen? Mm-hmm.
When we were in Colossians, my Bible has this little learning thing on the side.
Yeah.
And I was reading it. It says, many believers fail to end well because they mistakenly think that God's call to personal ministry or anything, you know, like He calls us, depends on their skill level. None of us are adequate in ourselves, and more than any of us can save ourselves. Throughout our lives, we must glorify God, and that means depending on Him from the beginning to the end. You know, it's not...
In every facet, right? In every area of life, in every area of your personal life, but in the greater life of the community that we're in, the nation that we're in, the humanity that we're all a part of. So Lord, I just ask that for us, that we would be people that would continue to step up to where You want us to go, and that's... Lord, in all those areas where You haven't really been a part or been invited in, Lord, we open up our hearts now that we ask You to come into those areas. And as You put Your finger on things, Lord, that we would recognize where we've closed You out. And Lord, give us the grace to open those doors, that You might fill all in all in our lives, that we would truly... In real essence, sanctify You in our hearts. We thank You, Lord, today. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us a life that we can live for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.